No need to move. Monitor 68 keeps you in touch. In this half hour, a report on the Winter Olympics from Grenoble, France. 2 minutes from now, singing star Jack Jones talks about the reasons for his success. Your monitor host, Ted Steele, passing along this definition of love by the Seekers. Love is kind, love is wine.
Love is kind, love is wine. So much love there in your eyes. And you know that I will love you till the last flower dies.
Singer sells a million records, he's usually classified as a star. But when he's called upon to host multi-million dollar TV specials and is booked as a headliner in the country's top nightclubs, he graduates to the success category enjoyed by Jack Jones. Currently appearing at New York's Copacabana, Jack entertains with a repertoire that includes a half dozen hits he's recorded just this past season. Paul Greif interviewed the young star for Monitor.
Jack, you know, you're a phenomenon. You're a handsome singer who's become a star without ever going the rock and roll route. Now, how can you explain that?
I can't. I don't know. I just kind of came along at the right time when my type of singing was still in vogue, and it's carried over a bit, see. And now, since I've been singing professionally for 10 years, almost 11, and during this time, I have started to listen to a lot of different sounds, and I really don't stick right in a certain groove. I'm flexible. I enjoy all kinds of music, and I bring different flavors into my repertoire.
Is it true, Jack, that your father didn't want you to become a singer?
Yes. He was afraid that I, being a youngster, that I would be insincere about it and figure I just would get some glamour out of it and some an easy road. Maybe I thought it was easy. I don't know why I would think it would be easy, because I followed him around most of my life. When I wasn't in school, I was with him, seeing what he had to go through with the traveling and over in Europe and so forth. And but he thought I would think it was an easy thing. And when he realized I was sincere, he said, "Okay, let's see." See what you can do. And then I went in his act for about a year. I was in his act, just at a small feature thing, and that's how I started.
Going back to the beginning, Jack, there's an interesting thing here that one of our researchers came up with, that your father was once associated in show business with the Marx Brothers. Did you ever meet them?
I didn't meet the Marx Brothers. I met Groucho not too long ago for the first time. But he was associated with them for about three or four pictures, one of them being a classic, A Night at the Opera, which I ran recently when I was in New York before, just for fun, for a bunch of friends. And a picture holds up. It's a hilarious picture.
I saw it recently myself. It is funny. You know, image is a thing that most singers spend a lot of time on, and Sinatra-like is known as a swinger. Como is Mr. Nice. Crosby's got all the money. Now, what are you doing to build an image, Jerry?
I don't know. I'm just following my instincts. I'm trying to just be me, be what I am, not put on any airs or try and be, or try and mold myself in any particular direction.
Very little
That's
of,
dishonest.
Of your outside life ever hits the media, papers,
or anything. Well, I kind of keep it quiet. I don't like to publicize my private life. I'm very happy, personally, and I don't go around hitting parking lot attendants, and so I don't get much press in that respect. But
Jack, what do you think your greatest appeal is? Is it to the male audience or the female audience?
A male singer walks out on the floor, and right away, if he's singing to some guy's girl, he's got to expect a little bit of animosity somewhere. However, it doesn't happen that way with me. It's just kind of fun. We all have fun and enjoy music. That's my attitude.
Jack, you recently married one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood, Jill St. John. Now, is your wife going to continue her movie career?
That turned the men against me.
Yeah, sure.
That's what did it. Is she going to continue her career? Is that the question? I can't answer for her. She doesn't answer for me, I don't answer for her.
Oh, interesting. Where do you make your home now that you're always singing here and she is in Hollywood?
We make our home in Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills.
Jack, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. This is Paul Greif, Four Monitor.
Thank you, Paul.
Now let's listen to Jack Jones sing one of his latest, If You Ever Leave Me.
If you ever leave me, don't worry at all. If you ever leave me, just smile when I fall. The world will still keep turning. Without you, life goes on. And spring will be returning. Each year, though you're gone. If you ever leave me, I won't show the tears. If you ever leave me, I'll hide all my fears. And even though I try and still pretend that I don't need your warmth, don't need your touch, don't want your love.
3 minutes, a Winter Olympics report from Grenoble, France, here on the Monitor Beacon.
Finally, I am here, India. I am the mountains of Kashmir. I have journeyed across the world to find wise man Heshi Yogi and the secret of happiness.
My son, for what do you search?
Tell me, wise Heshi, the secret of happiness.
Love, peace, flowers, Wetsons.
You mean like Wetson's hamburger restaurant?
Oh yes, Wetson's, where the sun always shines.
Wetson's? Where they serve those great hamburgers, chicken, fish, french fries, and shakes?
After all, you can't eat flowers. Wetson's is a taste of happiness on a bun.
And there's a Wetson's hamburger restaurant near you.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York. You're with Monitor. I'm Ted Steele. In 20 minutes, Al Capp takes on the University of Alabama. Rhetorically, that is. For example, he answers this question.
What's your opinion of capital punishment? It's inhuman. I think we've taken all we can from Washington.
Al Capp will have a lot more to say later on Monitor. Here's Sally Field with a new one, Golden Days.
You're so busy chasing rainbows. You can't see things for what they are. You talk about the bad times while the good times pass you by. It's time you gave the world another try. Come on.
Time now for a Monitor report direct from the 1968 Winter Olympics in Grenoble, France, brought to you by Lincoln Mercury, makers of better idea cars inspired by the Lincoln Continental. This report on Jean-Claude Keely, winner of 3 Olympic gold medals, in 1 minute.
In just 1 year, more people have switched to Mercury Cougar than any other car in its class. The Big Cat is a roaring success. Who else in its class has a flashing tail that points the direction you're turning? And it's standard. Headlamps that hide by day, shine by night. Standard. A big new V8 Growl. Standard. Bucket seats, floor shift, full-width rear seat. All standard. In fact, Cougar's got more equipment that's standard than any other luxury sports car in its class. The only one built with the fine car touch. Inspired by Lincoln Continental. Now, there are twice as many Cougars to choose from. Mercury's got it. The big cat. A roaring success. Get it today at your Mercury dealers.
From Grenoble, France, this is Jim Simpson, along with Len Dillon from Monitor Sports, with a summary of this, the next to last day's events of these 10th Winter Olympic Games. Jean-Claude Killy has done it. He has won the third gold medal in alpine skiing. But it wasn't until more than an hour after the special slalom was concluded that it was announced that Jean-Claude was the winner. In the meantime, here's how it looked, or rather how it did not look to us, in the dense fog that blanketed Charrues.
And coming down through the fog right now with absolutely no one except those just a few yards away to see him is Jean-Claude Killy, who led at the end of the first run with a time of 49 and 37 hundredths of a second. At the top seeded 15, he is the first man down this slope, the second run. His time right now, 35.8. We cannot see him as he comes near the arrival line. You'll hear the French as he does come close. If he does win this third gold medal, and he could do it, no one will have seen him do it. 46 seconds, he's getting near the finish. 48 seconds, you can hear the crowd of across the line. 50.36 seconds for Jean-Claude Killy. And that will give him a total time of 99.73 seconds. That's what everyone will have to beat.
Not only was no one able to see Jean-Claude's spectacular run, but they did not see Håkon Moyen of Norway or Karl Schranz of Austria either, who finished with even better times than Killy. But more than an hour after the race was over, the judges who had watched the official films determined that Moyen and Schranz had come down the hill faster but had missed gates and were disqualified. Herbert Hubert and Alfred Mott, both Austrians, were placed second and third. That wraps up the alpine skiing for the 1968 Winter Olympics. The American alpine team goes home with a shutout. They won nothing. Now with more of today's results and Olympic observations, here is Len Dillon.
In hockey tonight, Jim, Russia trampled Canada 5-0 to win the Olympic gold medal. Czechoslovakia tied Sweden 2-2 and took the silver, and Canada wound up with the bronze. And finally, the United States and Finland battled to a 1-1 tie. Johnny Hoagland of Sweden pulled off a big upset in winning the 10,000-meter speed skating crown in a world record time of 15 minutes. Norway now heads the standings with 6 gold medals, 6 silver and 1 bronze. France is second with 4 gold, 3 silver and 2 bronze. Russia has 4 gold, 5 silver and 3 bronze. Italy 4 gold. Austria, Holland, Sweden, West Germany, the United States, Finland, Canada, and Czechoslovakia were next in the standings. The games end tomorrow with the 90-meter ski jump and maybe in the luge races. The luge track has been softened by mild weather, and it's doubtful if the races will take place. So one thing seems certain, Norway will go home as the king of the 10th Winter Olympics.
Thank you, Len Dillon. And now from Grenoble, France, Jim Simpson for Monitor Sports.
When we introduced our all-new Mercury Montego for 68, we told ourselves, this Mercury's got it. We thought it'd be the equal of any other luxury intermediate. Wrong. The Montego two-door hardtop, for example, is about half a foot more car than its three leading rivals. 4 inches more riding comfort in the wheelbase, 20% more usable trunk space. And Montego has the fine car touch, inspired by Lincoln Continental. So instead of making Mercury Montego equal to the competition, we wound up making it much more. Son of a gun.
Listen to Monitor tomorrow for more Olympic reports, including the colorful closing ceremonies direct from Grenoble, France. Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury for Mercury, Montego, and Cougar. Swing Safari, who accompanies you at home or on the go anywhere in the nation. New Yorkers, hear us on WNBC. Wherever you are, Monitor is with you. And there's more, so stay tuned.
Acclaimed the best picture of the year by the British film critics, Albert Finney and Shirley Ann Field star Sunday at 11:30.
That's on the Sunday Film Festival, tomorrow night at 11:30, Channel 4, New York.
Monitor. When Mrs. Freddie Mae Williams, a 25-year-old waitress, was sentenced to 60 days in jail for theft, she appeared to be shaken by her conviction and weakly asked Judge John Sanchez if she could get her purse. The judge nodded yes. Mrs. Williams walked back to the courtroom's spectator section, picked up her purse from the third row bench, and walked out the door. Authorities are still trying to find her. Frank Sinatra and Duke Ellington, Poor Butterfly.
Sure, you'll come. You'll be here. 68. Your weekend companion will keep you up to date.
Now, a Monitor 68 special. For the next half hour, Al Kapp, Monitor's expert on nothing, with opinions on everything, faces the University of Alabama student body. The recent confrontation went like this. Mr. Kapp has just been introduced.
Thank you very much. I don't know what you'll learn from my answers to your questions. I've learned a lot about you from your questions. I must proceed it by telling you this, that last time I spoke in the South, that was at a college, the second choice, if you can't get into this one, up at Chapel Hill, I think it is, and I was asked by a student in the audience, Mr. Kapp, what should we do in Vietnam? I said I thought that was a stupid question. I said that I thought we ought to shoot back. No matter how much that might offend Dr. Spock. I don't know. Shoot back until we quieted them down. Then we could discuss it and find out why we were there in the first place. Another question here was, do you think that John Wilkes Booth was the sole assassin of President Kennedy? And how I called New Orleans today. And the latest word is that Booth's understudy, John Wayne, was mixed up in it somehow. I tell you, if you write a book about that, it'll be a bestseller. Why has Richard Nixon the reputation of being a loser? Because he never wins, you idiot. Not a very strong civics course in this school. Mr. Kapp, do you smoke pot? You've all read Little Abner. Do you think I need to? And there was another question. Should college students be allowed to use LSD? Now, college students are the one group who don't need LSD to have delusions of grandeur. Why do you draw girls with big bosoms? Because I like them that way. I have never drawn a girl with a small bosom, and I promise you I never will. Remember, this is where I took that oath. Now, if you happen to like small bosoms, read Orphan Annie. Now, this is typical of a question that I've received many, many copies of. What is your reaction to young men and women here practicing sex before marriage? Well, as long as it's just practice. In a girl's handwriting, are there any opportunities for a Southern college girl in New York? You'll find out. Should a student government association have the power to make changes in university policy and curriculum, etc., if such changes are favored by a majority of the students? Certainly. I think the lunatic should run the asylum. This one was left at my hotel this morning. Hotel.
Mr. Cap, I saw some abstract art at an exhibition at the university yesterday. It looked like garbage to me. Why don't I understand it? If abstract art looks like garbage to you, you do understand. What, in your opinion, would be a satisfactory solution to our domestic problems? Well, I think one of them would be solved if we invoke this rule: anyone who can get to the welfare office can get to work. Realizing that the whole world's in a pretty bad shape, do you think we will be able to resolve all of its difficulties without everyone being destroyed? And if so, how can we reach, in effect, a happy ending to the misery in Vietnam, now in Korea? I must have received 30 questions like that, and they all indicate a movie-educated generation. We've been educated by our movies to expect a happy ending to any conflict, a satisfactory resolution to any vexing problem, from Doris Day's chastity to John Wayne's leading the American forces, no matter how threatened either Miss Day's honor or John Wayne's life is at the end. At the end, there is a happy ending, and we go out into the world not realizing that there are no happy endings when you leave the movie theater. When World War I ended, we were happy that that ended, but those of us, those who knew what life was about outside of movie theaters, knew that the anguish of people had not ended. World War II was beginning then. All wars end as others begin. All pain ends as other pain begins. There is no solution to Vietnam, nor should we demand of our president and demand of our generals that there be a solution. We can only survive it, and I think we should. I want America to survive any such confrontation because I'm convinced that we're, for one reason or another, the best of people. I want us to survive.
Al Cap will be back in 1 minute. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hello, this is Jim Gerhardt. I'm the new man here at WNBC, and this is what I'll be doing.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this a tattoo place?
That's right.
Do you ever do tattoos on animals?
I have done, yes.
Is it possible to do it?
What do you want, sort of an identification number in an animal's ear or something?
No, I just had this here idea. I don't know if it worked out or not, but I got this pig. And I thought if we could just tattoo pigs with Spalding or Wilson on them and sell them to these football companies, and they just take it off and make football just like it is. We don't have to print anything on it. And we could sell it for a lot of money. You ever do anything like that?
My problem is I don't know much about
it. So please join me, Jim Gerhardt, on WNBC. We'll enjoy putting each other on weekdays from 2 till 4. Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
You're back on Monitor, and we continue with tonight's special, Al Cap and his recent visit with the students at the University of Alabama. Here he is taking on another question.
Has the fact that you lost your leg made you sound so sarcastic and cynical? Only when I forget to oil it every 500 times. Do you consider John Kenneth Galbraith a great economist? I consider John Kenneth Galbraith the greatest economist since Edna St. Vincent Millay. In his new book, A Modern Industrial State, his advice is to lower the gross national product and raise foreign aid. Now, Edna St. Vincent Millay said exactly the same thing in a different way. Gypsies. I burn my candle at both ends. It may not last the night. But all my folks and all my friends, it makes a lovely light. Same idea, though. I tell you, that's the sort of economics that has made Billy Sol Estes a household word. What is your opinion of bitter old men who hate everyone who has talent? Well, I it's not specific. I don't know which bitter old cartoonist you mean. So I can't give you any opinion on that, but I will give you an opinion on the half-grown and the half-educated who bitch about a world they haven't been in long enough to be of any use in except to cash their father's allowance checks and take up space in the university that men of talent provided for them. My opinion is shut up until you grow up. Does Daisy May wear a brassiere? I'm going to have some researchers go into that, but it does show a keen interest in global affairs. Do you think America is considered imperialist and aggressive in the eyes of most of the world? I don't give a damn what the rest of the world thinks of us anymore. I really don't. Let them start worrying about what we think of them. What's your opinion of capital punishment? It's inhuman. I think we've taken all we can from Washington. But let's have some questions from the floor.
Mr. Cap.
Yes.
You commented on your accommodations in Tuscaloosa.
Did I call them accommodations? But go on.
With regard to that, I was curious if you would comment on a situation, I think, in your hometown, New York. You've had recently a litter problem, I understand.
Yeah, it's a stinking mess. Next. The something about the Pueblo. Something is named Pueblo, apparently, that you're worried about. The Pueblo incident. Well, I think the incident of the Pueblo illustrates a tragic fact about the state of the United States. We are the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. We're enormous. We have power so great, we daren't use it. And while we daren't use it, we can be nipped in the ankles by any mongrel until the blood flows and we cannot use our power. The Pueblo incident and our refusal to go in there and obliterate them is no sign of America's weakness. It's a sign of America's enormous strength and enormous decency. Yes?
What is your view of the Arab-Israeli crisis?
The Arab-Israeli crisis. I think those Israelis should be denounced on every platform for ganging up on those poor defenseless. I've never seen anything that made my blood boil. 75 million Arabs terrified by six Israelis. I'm sorry you asked me that question. It upsets me. Yes?
Do you have a comment on Lee Bouvier's performance in Laura?
Do I have a comment on Lee Bouvier's performance in Laura? Did I see it? Yes, I did see it. And that's my comment. But into every life, some rain must fall. She has a very pretty sister, that Bouvier. Well, there was a question here about Charles de Gaulle, if you'll forgive the language. I have a general in... I have a general, too, in Little Abner, Jubilation T. Cornpone. He's the hero of Cornpone's disaster, Cornpone's humiliating retreat, and his final, greatest battle, Cornpone's utter rout. The question was, should General Cornpone run for President of the United States? And it's impossible. He's already President of France. Yes. Another. What do I think about sex before marriage? I used to think of it constantly. It didn't do me a lot of good. It was tough in those days. But it is something to think about, isn't it, dear? By the way, I answered that question 15 minutes ago, but I know what you were thinking about. You weren't. Yes. Do I think that the voting age should be lowered to include qualified 18-year-olds? Won't do a bit of harm, two or three guys voting. Yes. From the floor. Yes. I'm sorry. What did I hear? Did I hear you called Ronald Reagan an actor? Well, not while I'm here. You can call Ronald Reagan anything, but you cannot call that man an actor. Anyone who has seen any performance of his on television or in the late movies knows that he may have been guilty of a lot, but he was never guilty of acting. Here's a question that was asked me several times. Who should run a state-owned university? Let's put it this way. Who should run a family-owned store? The family that built it, owns it, pays for it, stocks it, or any customer that comes in for a few minutes to buy a pair of pants, has he any right to tell the family that owns the store how to run it, how to rearrange the stock, what clerks to hire and fire? Any customer like that came into any store, the family throw him out on his fanny. The state is a family, and they run this university. They let all of you in. Possibly one too many, judging from this question. They should run it exactly the way they want to run it. Any of you who are students here who don't like the way it's run, shut up while you're here on welfare. Get enough out of the school to get out of it and make a buck and contribute to it. Then you can run it, because then you will be a member of the family, but not 1 minute before. We college students preoccupied with sex? I hope so, or where will the next group of college students? What are George Romney's chances of becoming president of the United States? Well, let me put it this way. What's the United States' chances if he does? Why do I judge the actions of all college students by the actions of a very few? And it's true, I may have seemed to. I should have said every time that I am now referring to the 2% of college students who are thought of and praised as being involved with their country because they're all out raising hell about it. And whereas the 98% who stay back at the school and quietly learn how to run the store are called apathetic. The terrible truth is that no one ever took a picture of a college student not burning his draft card. And I'll give you a minute to think about that. I'll take one more question, then I'm going to ask one. No, everybody thinks schmooze are the answer. You know, the schmoo was my experiment with an economic, a very simple economic theory. I wondered what would happen if all our prayers were suddenly and overwhelmingly answered. If all our prayers were an end to struggle, an end to worry, an end to fear, an end to labor, were suddenly answered by an invasion, a total invasion of goodness and plenty. And I reduced goodness and plenty down to the little schmoo who would provide anything, do anything for people. And I turned loose billions upon billions of schmoos on the little world that I control. And I let that story write itself. It didn't help human beings. It dehumanized them. It gave them no reason to use their minds, their bodies, their talents. Schmooz provided everything. Human beings became vegetables. And my conclusion was that the schmooz are bad for people because they're too good for people. I think that it's marvelous to want what makes getting them marvelous is earning them. And if that sounds like corn, I promise you that what corn is the ultimate, simple, embarrassing truth. No matter how much you try to avoid corn, that's the end and the truth. Thank you all for having me.
That was Al Capp on his recent visit to the University of Alabama. Fever and soul coaxing. I'm Ted Steele. Monitor News on the Hour coming up next. So,
keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep to their sports and views now from everywhere.
This is Long John Neville, inviting you to be with me from start to finish on WNBC. That's right, WNBC's day begins with my 5 to 6 a.m. telephone show, Straight Line, and concludes with my early hour show at the 4 to 5 a.m. finish line. In between, there's the Long John Neville Show from midnight to 4, and the earlier early hour from 8 to 9 p.m. So join me, Long John Neville, day and night on WNBC.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
What's VA's new FX telephone service? Fast extra service, long distance to many VA regional offices from 12 U.S. cities for the price of a local phone call, and the service is expanding. You may be able to tie into this new VA telephone information service by paying a small toll charge. Ask about it. It's 9 o'clock.